What do you see would be happening then? I mean, for the fulfillment of this, what events do you think will actually be transpiring?
Again, let me read from the revealing because it's you know, I've collected my thoughts there. There's two characters here, the Major, who is kind of doesn't believe in any of this stuff, and then we have Alicia Benhassen, who's been studying this forever. The Major nodded. You see what is happening? It looks like the Iranians are preparing for an offense. It will be suicide, and they know it, Elisha said. This isn't 65. Everything has changed. Egypt too, Yuri added. Alicia gave her the map again. Nothing compared to Iran. True, the Major replied, but our intel inside Egypt are relaying that something is brewing. They're not sure how big, but they're very nervous about it. The Russians, Elisha asked. Yes, their president relayed a message to the American president, who in turn talked to our ambassador, who then relayed to the prime minister that war games are underway between the Iranians and the Russian army. So I feel that at some point in time, like the wars that have happened against Israel, like the Six-Day War, War of Atonement, it's, you know, things are going to happen. And the saber rattling will go on for a while. And at some point, you know, the thing is going to ignite. I want to read something. Let me see if I can get my hands on it.
But what do you think would happen? I mean, how would that play itself out as you see it? Israel this week said that it would have a preemptive strike against Iran. So maybe that's
correct.
The excuse that Iran would use, to launch some major offensive. Or maybe if Israel strikes Iran, that's their chance to get together with Syria, Lebanon, maybe even Egypt, and simultaneously attack Israel.
The way it comes down is not really clear. My gut feeling is that Israel will not throw the first stone, so to speak. It's not Iraq. For them to fly over there, it's a whole different ball game.
Right.
The Iranians have a good sized air force. Some of the Iraqi jets that left are over there, and apparently the Russians have sold the Iranians the parts to them. So apparently they're in good working order. The Iranians have a good air force, and I mean for the Israelis to do something like that, not saying that they couldn't do it, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that this thing, when it comes down, will be kind of lightning fast.
Okay.
And I think it'll take people by surprise.
Well, where do the Luciferians figure into this then? I mean, where's the rest of your work? How is that part of this revealing?
Well, I believe that, you know, we're into this last day scenario, and I believe that this Magog war, this confederacy of nations which do come up against Israel. What's interestingly enough, if I can just kind of get into that, get into what I want to say first before I can answer your question. But, you know, you asked, how is this thing coming about? I think it's a nuclear exchange. I think when these nations come up against Israel, Israel realizes that they have no choice but to act in a nuclear way. And, of course, this is, since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, this is really unprecedented. I mean, this is going to turn everything upside down because people are going to see. We satellite TV, it's like, you know, here are the images, folks, as it's happening, you know, check this stuff out. It's like, I remember when Anwar Sadat was assassinated. I'll never forget it. You know, the satellites were up, and I sat there, and like within minutes of the actual event, it was beamed all over the world. The same type of thing will happen with this. Once this thing goes on, just like when we went into Iraq with shock and awe. I mean, you know, you're sitting in your living room watching shock and awe happen.
Right.
You know, thousands of miles away. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. People are dying in that.
Well, if Israel goes nuclear, as you say,
they'll have no choice but to go nuclear.
Everybody would go nuclear. I mean, it would be
not necessarily.
You don't think that there would be a reply to Israel from everything that, I mean, if Israel started, say, even tactical nukes. If they did that, I mean, I don't think they would. I mean, I can't imagine that they would. It would just seem to be suicide if they would, that everybody would come after them.
Well, Israel will only do it as a last resort. It won't be something like a preemptive strike. That's not what I'm saying. Israel will only do it and only do it as a last resort. In other words, they realize that unless they act that way, they, in fact, will be driven into the sea. They will be wiped out. And, you know, when this guy, you know, the president of Iran stands up and shakes his fist and basically says, you know, we want to annihilate and wipe Israel off the map. Those are not idle words. I mean,
no.
Why is he saber-rattling like that? With all the nonsense going on in the Middle East, why is this guy standing up and saber-rattling like that? It's just
You know why?
It's a mind blower.
You know what I think? I mean, obviously, it's the oldest political ruse in the world. If you can't get your house in order, get everybody looking in another direction, focusing all their anger on somebody else.
That's what he's doing. And, the Iranian economy is not doing so well. There's a lot of unrest in the younger generation. So, he's pointing. There's also some things I've read about the Iman Mahdi, which is supposed to. They're saying that this could be happening soon. The Iranians are pushing this thing out. The Iman Mahdi is going to incarnate, and the whole world's going to change. And so, they're kind of fueling this religious fervor, in their people. And I do agree with you. There's a lot of problems in Iran, so they're pointing to this thing as a diversion. Right. That's certainly the case.
All right. If this nuclear thing happened, that could. That could be a reflection of that thing about Damascus being destroyed.
True, but here's the prophecy, which is just bizarre. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up, as we're talking here. Ezekiel 39 specifically talks about how this thing comes down, how when these nations come into Israel, it says, "I will strike them with a plague," and this is the plague, that their eyes will rot in their sockets. I read that from the Revealing. I lifted that from the prophecy. But their eyes will rot in their sockets. Their tongues, as they're standing up, will just rot in their mouth. And here's what the prophecy says, which to me is just totally chilling. Remember, it's 2,700 years ago. Ezekiel has no idea of, neutron bombs or nuclear fission or any of this stuff. I mean, it didn't exist, obviously. And he's looking into the future, and what he sees is that this army is decimated, that only 1/6 of them are left. The whole thing, this army is just wiped out, completely wiped out. Here's the deal. It says specifically in Ezekiel 39 that no one touches the bodies for 7 months. It's either 6 or 7 months. No one touches the bodies. Then after a period of time, I think it's like 6 or 7 months, people go out, and wherever they find the bone, they mark it. That's all. They don't touch the bone. They mark it. And then professionals, go out, gather the bones, and bury them downwind, east of Israel. What is, when you read that, this thing's written 2,700 years ago, it makes no sense. 150 years ago, it made no sense. But now you go, oh, my gosh, this sounds like it's some sort of a nuclear exchange. They wait 7 months, they go out, and they only, certain people mark where they see the bones, but they don't touch them.
Because of the radioactivity.
Go out and gather the bones and collect them and bury them all in one area. That's unbelievable. That's Ezekiel 39. I'm not making this stuff up. That's Ezekiel 39.
And that's your belief that is an implication of radioactivity.
Some sort of a nuclear exchange.
Right, but the bones are radioactive and nobody wants to touch them, and
you
leave the dead.